Good evening, everyone. This is our June 25th special meeting of the Bolton Board of Finance. And I'm just going to identify folks who are present, who are members. And so we have members of the Finance Committee present are myself, Ross Lally, Chair. We have from the Board of Education, Rhea Klein and Ashley Phelan, from Board of Selectmen, Robert Mora and Amanda Gordon. Member at large, Tyler Egner, and then we are missing Chris. So we also have present in the room here in the Bolton Town Hall is Jim Rupert, our town administrator, Rodney Fournier, first selectman. I think I've gotten everybody here. And then online, we have Mary, our clerk. We also have Andrew Browneal, who is chair of the Board of Education. And we have, is Kristen there? Yes, she is. Mm-hmm. Kristen Hecht is here, who's our current superintendent. And then we also have President David Caruso, who is going to be the superintendent after June 30th. So, calling the meeting to order, I will ask if there is any public participation. There is none of the public in this room. So I will ask if anybody is on the Zoom call and would like to speak. You can raise your hand and unmute yourself. I think it's star six if you are muted and you're on the phone. And you can unmute using the mouse or whatever if you're on a PC or other device remotely. So any public comment from those on Zoom? Yes, Ashley Pajoli, I think I saw your hand up. Is that true? Nope.
It was up.
It was up, now it's gone. And Ashley, you're still muted if you wanted to speak. And if you didn't, then someone else can speak. And it looks like everybody is quiet online. I am not seeing any hands raised. So I will continue on to our ongoing business. And as folks know, the budget did not pass at the referendum. It was a slightly smaller margin than before, but it was still basically a 3-2 margin, about 250 votes difference.
You might want to mute the phones. You might want to mute the phones.
I am going to mute folks on the phone because we are getting noise in the background.
Should just be able to hit that blue button.
I think I got everybody. Yeah, there's one more.
Just three more.
Three more. And we'll know when the noise stops.
Sounds like a dog.
Sounds like a dog. But it doesn't sound anymore because you're all muted.
There's one more.
One more. Bottom left. Okay, bottom left. Okay. There we go. So as you know, getting back to where I left off, the budget did not pass. Again, it was a substantial margin. So per the town charter, this committee is called together and we have to discuss cutting, you know, the budget again. And for the benefit of folks online, the only place that the Board Finance Committee has line item veto is on the CAPA, their capital projects. And we can also set an amount for either the Board of Selectmen or Board of Education to cut their budgets by, but we have no say in the decisions that they then make to implement those cuts to their budgets. And so I will start entertaining any discussion on, do we have any additional changes to our projected revenues and expenditures for FY 2025 or FY 26. Before we go further, I do want to just mention to the board, the committee members present, we do not have our chief financial officer present. She is on vacation. She gave me a spreadsheet to use to help calculate things. But again, I cannot answer any questions or anything dealing with finances, anything behind the scenes, because she's not here. And it is frustrating to me as chair. This happened 2 years ago. She was gone 2 months during the budget phase. And we had no backup plans, and we have no backup plans, anybody filling in for her now. So I will, and the rest of us will do our best, but where there is no backup available and we don't have the answers, it may prompt further discussion about, can we actually do this tonight, or do we need a special meeting? I think, Amanda, you had mentioned you might have some questions, comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think reasonably we may be able to, may be able to come up with a budget number, but when it gets down to new business for A, without, you know, someone to actually calculate the mill rate for us based on the, like, we can choose whatever number, well, not whatever number, right? So to clarify for people, our charter requires us, if the budget does not pass by the start of the fiscal year, to set a temporary mill rate. That mill rate cannot be any higher than the mill rate that was set for last year. The official mill rate set for last year is 32.74. So it cannot be higher than that. However, if we wanted to set, sorry, I've got my back to people. I'm trying to put my feet up. If we wanted to set a mill rate based on the budget we find tonight, it'll be very challenging to identify that mill rate because the chart that Jill gave to Ross only has ranges.
It has ranges of $25,000 up to a certain point, and then they're $50,000. So we could interpolate in between, but it's really, right, it's our guess as opposed to it's a number provided by the CFO.
Yeah. So in terms of like revenues and expenses, right, one of the questions I had in looking at the budget, and I think I know the answer, but without her here to answer it, I'm a little skeptical, right? So looking at the capital budget, I did notice that the the firehouse roof and the doors are still in the capital budget, and they're still in the capital total. I believe that's because she had to recognize that as additional unofficial revenues from LOTSIP instead of reducing the expenditures. So I think, I mean, we don't have the unofficial revenues that were recognized to calculate the mill rate for this referendum's budget written down anywhere. So it's hard to say that for sure that happened or not. But I do think, and communications isn't quite on the agenda, but I think it's relevant to this conversation, is that the budget that gets posted in some ways is misleading because it doesn't, because we're recognizing unofficial revenues as part of the changes we're making, those aren't documented anywhere. And same with,
that's what he called out.
Right. Same with the changes to expenditures, you know, the cuts we make to each board, those aren't explicitly called out anywhere either. And so,
to Amanda's point, that came up by enough people at the polls that I went and with Sandy Pirog checking my figures, I went through and wrote that down in handwriting and put it up where we have copies of the budget, because we had enough people come over and ask me that it was just faster for me to spend 5 or 10 minutes doing that and putting it there. So it is definitely something that,
yeah,
you know, people were looking for.
So I can pull up for the people on the phone where our current budget lies, so people can see the changes we make tonight, but...
Yeah, so our referendum is the 15th, correct?
The referendum is the 15th.
So we meet next Wednesday. We can set the final correct figures, full mill rate, and you have 2 weeks before
you'd wind up with having 4th of July then, right after that. And I have to get the, I have the switching hats now for folks online. I'm also one of the registrars of voters, and we have to set up the election and make sure that the ballots are done in time so that people who want to vote early, who cannot absentee voting, can do so, and that the ballots actually get printed and delivered in time. So if we do it, it's tight. I think it is doable. Our ballots getting printed are done by Adkins. They get done almost immediately, and one of us can run and pick them up.
If we did a couple of days earlier, that make a difference?
We can't do a couple of days earlier because Jill doesn't get back until Tuesday.
Oh, it is Tuesday.
Right.
Unless somebody is able to get a call into her and get some answers to something.
Yeah, okay. We'll just say Wednesday, be safe. Okay.
And Tuesday we have...
Yeah, and we're stuck with the, I shouldn't say stuck, it's requirement of the town charter that we do the referendum within 2 to 3 weeks of the failure of the previous one. So we're going for 3 weeks. We don't have any leeway. And we actually wanted to go for the 3 weeks because of the holiday vacation in between.
Yeah, that's why we chose that date.
And the other point of clarification that I think we should make for the public, right, is what we're, this unofficial revenue thing that we're calling, if you look at the charter, it explicitly says that we're not allowed to recognize any revenue after the budget goes to first revenue unless there's some type of emergency. So we're allowed to recognize unofficial revenue. It doesn't go in the actual budget document, but it comes into play when we calculate the mill rate. And that's what we mean.
That's for folks out there. If you look at the changes and try to calculate the mill rate on your own, you will come out with a higher mill rate than what we're showing, because if you just go by the numbers that the budget was reduced by, that doesn't include the additional revenue, which is effectively, it's reducing the tax burden and therefore your mill rate. So that's why if you do the calculations yourselves, you will find a discrepancy. If you just base it purely on the dollars that the budget was reduced by, because there's also reductions from.
Is there a fixed number of days for the absentee ballot?
That's what I asked. And we don't know.
Is it just when you get
them? They don't have to be ready for mailing. There's not sufficient time. Because they have to have it, you have to have at least 3 weeks after you set the budget, and we're under that. So they don't have to be mailed. And as soon as you set the budget, they're all hand done, the absentee ballots. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to go to the printer. Right. As soon as I give the question to the town clerk, she will have the absentee ballots ready. Because she has a template she uses. We don't use the machines. There's usually only a couple dozen. Right. So we hand count them. So those are not the issue. They will be ready, you know, pretty much the next day after we set, you know, the question.
Okay.
So there's no issue with them.
It would be Monday, whatever.
Yeah. So if we go and set it on, you know, say we set it next Wednesday, absentee ballots would be ready, you know, pretty much Thursday.
Thursday's the 4th, right?
No, Friday's the 4th.
No, so if you're open on Thursday and people come in Thursday, they can come in and fill them out there and they're good to go. Or they can come in the following week after the holiday when the town hall opens again for business. So you have Monday you open, right? Because you take Friday off, so you're open again Monday?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure because that's what we usually do. Again, want to mention it for people who are listening and may have a question. So I guess the question to the committee members is, we could attempt to do it tonight, and there's a possibility of like a $58,000 mistake possibly we make.
Well, because of the, right now we're assuming she recognized it as unofficial revenue.
If you assume and it's incorrect, then we're off $58,000.
Right. I mean, that's how much.
Yeah, it's 38 for the firehouse roof and 20 for the town hall doors. So, I mean, there are some changes we can talk about in terms of.
Yeah, I think we should talk about it and have the discussion tonight, to your point, and then come up with a general number.
Right, because
I
made a list myself of items, and I'm sure.
And I talked to Jim about it, and I know Amanda had some conversations with him as well.
We're probably, if I may.
Go for it and speak slowly so we can write it down with a dollar amount associated with it, because we then have to do a calculation to see what the
On the screen, you'll see our current fiscal year budget. These are the numbers that went out for the last referendum. This is the difference between the last referendum and last year. Yep. I'm going to make any reductions to the budgets that we make tonight. It'll come up with a new proposed number and new proposed changes. And any unofficial revenues will go down here, which will later come into play when we try to figure out the tax burden.
So once you get the equivalent number, I can go and look at the other spreadsheet that Jill gave me, and we can take an educated guess at what the mill rate would be.
And I have all of our capital things down here.
Yeah. So
the ones in red are no longer coming out of tax dollars, right? We already got rid of those. And the ones in yellow were my personal idea of what couldn't get cut, but that I wasn't looking for.
So
Could not get cut.
So, all right. With that, then it is the capital I wanted to speak to first.
Yeah.
And when we talk about items there not to be cut, there are reasons for it because, you know, things needed to be taken care of. We'll start with, I'll do one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the $110,000 highway truck replacement. Due to the fine work of our town employees who are refurbishing that vehicle to the tune that it may last us up to another 5 years, and we can program a replacement for a 5-year period starting next year. So that would be a reduction of that one of $110,000. Similarly, and not quite to the same extent, the school replacement vehicle, that too, I think with some mechanical improvements and if we have to even a rear body replacement.
Which one is the school?
That's the $70,000.
Yeah, the utility pod truck.
Okay.
Sorry, truck.
So do you agree with that assessment, Jim? Because I know you had said...
So I spent some time today with town employees, and I would like for Kristen to be able to speak up too about the school vehicle. But the town employees did spend some time today at my direction and Kristen's direction. We looked at vehicles again, and they felt that with about $3,000 of immediate care, you know, they could get that truck to last another year. With the caveat that repair bills could go up, you know, when we keep an older vehicle in the fleet,
right?
It may, and there is no extra money in the school's repair budget this year because they thought they were going to be looking to replace it, and so they reduced the repairs budget. Kristen, you should probably jump in if I missed anything.
Yeah, so having said all that, a while back I had asked John to take a look at it, so I appreciate you following up on that. And yes, we need about $3,000 worth of front-end repairs, tires on the truck, but I think we need another $2,000 for a used truck bed and a few other things. So, you know, I think at this point we're looking at maybe putting $6,000 or so into it. So I would say, you know, you can cut that, and I'd like to direct him to start working on that tomorrow while we still have some funds available to us, and let's just get it fixed. With the knowledge that, you know, this is old to begin with and was a hand-me-down, and it is going to need to be replaced. And
in making this move, I recognize it. That's a fact. It doesn't need to be replaced. What we're looking to do is, from my understanding, is extend it 1 to 2 years. And that's 2 years.
Correct.
Might be.
Yeah. So do we want to cut it by half and keep half in here to split it up? Because otherwise we're passing the expense on next year, and it's just going to.
I think the other thing too, Amanda, I'm sorry, I kind of jumped in there, but, you know, we're not going to have the $410,000 energy management bill next year. Right, because we're trying to take care of that all in one fell swoop, and if we have a lot of money budgeted in the bridge, and unfortunately I don't have an answer. I reached out again today to see if we could get an answer on the bridge. I still don't have it. Unfortunately, we also talked about the replacement van for the senior center. We're not going to know about that grant until at least September. So I think, you know, our recommendations from a staff perspective with regard to vehicles, for put the money into the school's vehicle, get that fixed. We've got the project underway and almost completed with the one plow truck. We're going to start on another plow truck so that, because if we don't fix them both, we're going to still need one next year. just so you know, this has been about $10,000. In about a month of time for our mechanic fabricate on and off. And we're going to do the same thing with the other product, so that we can push it out 5 years. It's both 20-ish years old. So, and the other thing I will say is, talked with staff today, the 14-year-old Ford Explorer, we're willing to take a chance that it lasts another year, but if it explodes, what we're going to have to do is just find a different vehicle, either in the school's fleet or the town's fleet, that's not being used that day, and use that. But we're willing to do that if that helps the whole process here. That's the one that scares us the most, frankly, because of its age and its decay. And the last time it broke, it was difficult to get parts, but currently it's running fine.
So we want to cut the 70K vehicle. So now, right now, the things that are in red are what I've cut so far.
Yep. And I have, frankly, I live with older vehicles. I keep them going, make them work. And that's town vehicle. Yeah, I squeeze 1 year out. He probably can squeeze two if it all works. This is a situation that
I would cut the town's vehicle in deference to the keeping the van in for the team.
Oh yeah,
because we've got one grant money that we would lose because we've already gotten that $15,000 of ARPA funding going toward it. And we've already applied for the other grant. So I would definitely, in deference to that, I would be, we'd be willing to take the chance on not replacing
it. Put the note about the 15K already.
Well, we have to understand too, I understand the part about how you can keep it going, but then there's also the issue of reliability. Is it available when you need it? Can you get another if it shouldn't work? So just so that everybody's aware of that.
Can I ask a quick question? As it relates to the ARPA funds, is there an ability to use those ARPA funds for any of these vehicles or anything else that we're looking to take off?
What ARPA funds? Really
very, 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 very specific.
The ARPA, all of the ARPA funds have already been committed, and most of the projects are underway or nearing completion.
So you can't change what they're designated.
But those were already paid for.
Fair. Okay.
So you cannot change funds are not designated for. I just want to clarify that.
They had to be designated by the end of December.
Right, end of December.
So it's too late to reallocate any of those.
So the only thing left that we haven't talked about is the e-hydraulic cutters for the firehouse.
Yeah.
It's actually not, that's a misspelling.
Okay. Oh, it's just hydraulic.
It's hydraulic.
Okay.
It's hydraulic.
You got it.
Spelling.
AU instead of O.
Yeah, you're right. I do know how to spell
that. That is maybe where I would have been next to as well.
That's up for it. We have tethered.
We have hydraulic.
No, but what do we have now?
I thought the ones we have now are hydraulic, and the ones they want to get are electric. So you're freed from the lines.
So these are the ones that you're correct. Tethered is a correct word, right?
It works
on a hydraulic pump that is connected through a hose, and it's not as speedy or as efficient as what the fire department is looking to replace them with. I think I said this before, but I'll say it again. You know, there are a lot of car accidents in Bolton that do require extrication work. We have a lot of high-speed crashes on Route 6. We seem to have a lot of rollovers on Camp Meeting Road. And there are a couple of Route 44 can sometimes be problematic. We've had rollovers, believe it or not, on high speed. So it is a life-saving tool that would save time for the fire department, and this is a department that knows how to use the tools that they have very well, and it would be beneficial to have that. But there is something else that is available. It's just not as fast.
Okay, is this something that like every other fire department has, or
is this more limited?
Is Bruce available to comment?
Yeah.
I thought I saw him on.
Yeah, Bruce, if you want to unmute.
Good evening. Mr. Chairman, I'm on the line, I believe.
Thank you, sir. Yep. You have the floor.
If I had a vehicle that had extricate out of the electric hydraulic tools, which maybe I guess we need to educate all of the finance members more of what equipment is before it starts getting cut. These are life-saving. You probably heard of Jaws of Life. I think Kristen's on the phone here on the Zoom here. Lately, probably about a month ago, we freed a child's head from the jungle gym bars over at the center school with the hydraulic tools, rescue tools. Not to mention, we didn't need them when we had a fire at 5:30 at the high school. Probably most of the people wouldn't know that, but at a fire at 5:30, we took care of it. But these are electric hydraulic. They can go off the road. They're not tethered to the truck. Makes a big difference when you're off road or in different location for extrication. We put this in, to your point, Amanda, where you tried to move a vehicle and spread it in a couple of years. This is a package that these electric hydraulic tools and the rescue jacks to actually pick a car up. And I'd send you some interesting pictures if you'd like to see, or come down to the firehouse. This coming Monday night, we're working with the Andover Fire Department. We will be picking those cars up in the air and tearing them apart so you can get an idea of what we do. I think I've invited you for that before. But anyway, this is a two-part project, which you folks moved out this year and 2 years from now to go for the rescue jacks. So I think we bent over a little bit for you to help you out. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I actually had a question that I don't think.
Yeah, no, my question was, yeah, as it relates to, if you compare to other fire departments, is this pretty cutting edge or is this standard and just something everybody else has? I'm just curious where we stand as a comparison to other, you know, volunteer fire departments or paid fire departments.
All fire departments, paid or volunteer, use these tools, from the city of Hartford to Manchester to Andover to Columbia. We've been compared to Columbia in the past. Columbia, yep. All the fire departments have them. Unfortunately, with the age of these tools, we've got one that's over 20 years old. The factory will not give us parts anymore. They won't even work on it anymore. Over 20 years, they're not certifying them. So I'm not putting my people at safety risk to use those.
Sure. So the other fire departments have this version that we're looking to get, or are they
this style,
the electric ones or the hydraulic ones?
Absolutely. And if you'd like a list, I'd be more than happy to compile it for you and get it to you. Yep. Yeah, this is not something that nobody else has. Not willy-nilly. This is a rescue tool, Jaws of Life. We've had the Jaws of Life, I think, in the Bolton Fire Department since early 1980s.
Yep. And you were saying that one of them is 20 years old, correct?
I've so actually got it on two different trucks. We've got it on two different trucks because of, I think, as the town administrator acknowledged earlier, we get so many accidents on Route 6, 384, and 44. Our truck is equipped with six rescue tools on it because usually it's not just one vehicle which crashes, two vehicles. So we've got to do two things at once.
All right. Great. That's helpful discussion. Thank you.
So since I've worked with the older tool, and it's bulky, it's difficult, particularly with the hose. And it's, you know, it's one thing if you can park your rescue vehicle next to where you're working, it's not too bad. But when you have we end up with apartment vehicles off the road, off into the woods and this and that, where you have to go into there. It's a whole different ballgame picking up the tool with its operating function right there and go in with your crew and go into action, as opposed to putting a portable pump down there and then setting up and then doing it. So for me, I know you're not going to like it, but I would rather take the $38,000 from the town's budget than taking it out of this capital.
$32,000. I was going to say, right now we've cut $227,000. We're at $842,000, which is an increase over the FY25 budget. Wait, that doesn't make sense. There's a number that's wrong. 82 minus. Oh no, that is right.
Yeah, 2.7 megawatts.
We cut. I don't know if the percent change is right, but we're at 842 in this current fiscal year. We were at 826, so it's only a small increase over last year's. Our minimum amount. So, for the public who are not aware, we're required to have a minimum worth of 1 mil in the capital plan. 1 mil is basically the grand list divided by 1,000. So our minimum for capital is just over $612,000 for this year.
So we can't go below that.
We could not go below 612 and some change, which I would have to figure out what that change is.
So
So yeah, those are my cap. From a 30% increase in the capital down to a 2% increase in the capital.
That's my recommendation for the capital. Do you want us to act on it, or you want to wait till
we act on the whole thing?
When do we go and act on the whole thing and just see it? Because so far it looks like we've talked about, Kappa.
That's all I have for now.
Okay. Yeah. So the other part would be, is there anything, an additional surplus that, can be recognized since we're doing primarily at this point the Board of Selectmen? Is there anything the Board of Selectmen have that additional surplus funds this year that can be used to reduce the mill rate?
We have the amount that the for the vote of the plus back.
Okay.
Because that's not taken into original calculation.
And
so that was $35,000.
And that comes out of that would be additional unofficial changes in revenue.
Yeah.
Because we didn't touch that in our original calculation.
Thirty-five. And that's because now you've done the referendums and you know what's left.
We know what's left. And it was also basically every year we allow for an audit and of the votes, a recount of the votes. And also we had early voting for the first time and we overestimated based on the state eventually changed the requirements for staffing. So we didn't have the audit, we didn't have the recount, and we overclubbed the amount of money that we thought we would need for early voting. And so, like you said, we're pretty much only a week left of the budget. So we're pretty sure that what's left will cover us after we give up the $35,000. So then that takes us up to almost the equivalent of
252.
I'm looking at the 32.
So. Yeah, 227.
No, 262.
I was talking about
252. 262.
I just did the math. That's why I have Excel, because mathing is hard.
So where are you getting the 262? Because
I added the 227 from the capital.
Okay, plus the 35.
Plus 35 okay. In revenue changes.
We have the 110, the 70, and what else?
So what do we have left?
And the 40,
no, in the capital.
The 47 for
the last time, that's right.
I mean, yeah.
So anything on the other side, Ms. Wilson?
Well, and there's no other changes, right?
Not today.
To expenses for next year?
Not today.
Are you ready for Board of Ed side?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, please.
So we're looking at a revised projection of $394,896. I would not recommend that you recognize all of that. We still are in the hole for food services, and although Casal has mapped out what she thinks that deficit is, we don't know for sure until it closes out. We now have these added repairs that I've already sent John an email about to get going and take care of on the truck, and bills still to be paid. So
say 10,000.
And of that 394,896, how much has already been given back? Remind me.
150,000.
If folks can't tell, I need the formatting to be right. Drives me bonkers. Sorry. So in theory,
244 is left.
No,
we've already accounted for the 150,000 in the 394,896 is
in addition.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
But again, like I said, my recommendation would not be for the whole amount. We still got to pay bills, and we still are in the hole for food services.
So what would your recommendation be? 350, because you said you got to pay for the truck. What would your recommendation be?
Well, I think that's a conversation. Well, it's twofold, I think. I think maybe 250,000, with the knowledge that likely there will be money given back for the following year's budget, and there's probably virtually nothing left on the town side that's going to happen for. So I'm just throwing that out there as for your discussion. I won't be here, but I'm throwing it out there for discussion, or maybe this is the year that you just make that go away. I don't know.
And this is after balloon payment, anticipating the balloon payment and everything?
Correct.
Oh. I mean,
that would bring us to,
when you say bring us to, which number are you
using? Yeah, what number would you
I'm taking your last total of 260.
But how much of that 394 are you?
I'm just starting with the 250.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Jimmy, that was tossed out, so I'll start with that. So that brings you to 500 and 512,000 dollars.
So, I mean, I think what Kristen says is a good point, right? Like every year we have givebacks. Givebacks means, well, givebacks doesn't necessarily mean revenue towards next year's budget. We could be keeping that money and putting it in the rainy day fund and increasing our bond rating, et cetera, which we have not been doing, to be clear for the public, right? But in theory, we have been using all of givebacks, essentially, except for what we're obligated to put in the rainy day fund.
Hold the mill rate down.
Hold the mill. Use the revenue for next year to keep the mill rate down. That being said, so it reduces the mill rate for the next year, good thing for taxpayers, including those of us around the table who are taxpayers, right? That being said, there's a perception from the public that if there's givebacks, the budgets are inflated, right? Or that there's fat to chew off.
Yeah,
not really understanding that budgets are an estimate. And when you look at the percentage of the budgets that we're giving back, it's yeah. very small.
And, and I also just want to clarify is that we have a very tiny contingency right. fund. It's yeah. only $25,000. That will not cover 50. Any... 50,000. It will not cover anything substantial.
Right.
So just like I was mentioning, as we as registrars of voters have typically each year, a 5% chance of an audit. It's not a big chance, but asking for $20,000 that is not in the budget is a lot harder than giving it back at the end of the year to reduce the following year's taxes. Same thing, again, I will speak to is that we didn't have to do any recounts because just by luck, none of the votes that we had a margin of less than 0.5% of the votes cast. So you know, from the public's perception, I think you're happier with, we're not coming back to the well for more money. We're giving you back what we didn't use. And again, I will just make a comment again so folks understand the Board of Education's budget is different. They have to keep their budget at least at last year's level. So when they give back money, it's basically you've raised the floor for their next budget by that amount that was given back. So I just want to make clear there's a different budgeting process that's used for the schools and for the Board of Selectmen. Board of Ed has to have a budget that matches the previous year's budget at least. Board of Selectmen do not. We could cut the selectmen's budget 50% tonight should we choose. It would be foolish to do it, but we can't do that with the, you know, Board of Ed. So I just want to make clear it's two different sets of rules right. governing the two sides and of the budget.
There are certain instances in which you can cut a Board of Education
Correct.
Budget below the prior years. There's like three or four different things. It's called the minimum budget requirements. You can Google it if you want to look it up like I did. easily found.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's, you know, I think it's at some point, you know, if you lose all of us, maybe it's a topic for our three board meeting later on this year, And we talked about philosophically whether we want to keep doing it the way we're doing it, or build up our contingency fund, you know, say $500,000, and then we could all budget a little bit tighter, right? I mean, you know, so it's, you know, it's like, you know, we'll be giving money. That part of our give back this year is for salt and sand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of our give back is for fuel. Well, we didn't use as much fuel for plowing. We didn't use as much salt and sand because it was a milder winter. You know, so I think maybe this is something that we should, you know, discuss the Board of Ed, the Board of Selectmen, and the Finance Committee at the three board meeting.
Because technically, I think you would have a smaller shared contingency fund by both the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen than you would if you do them each separately, because there's less combined variability between the two budgets than there is in each one.
We'd be coming back to the same well.
And as I think
it's also more transparent too, because you look and say there's a whole list of transfers out of the contingency to Board of Ed or Board of Selectmen. So it's all very clear. You know, you're basically during the year, you're transferring within your area and you're not adding anything. But, you know, if you need it because of an emergency and it's defined, then it's pulled out of the contingency fund. Everybody knows what the reason was, what the amount was. And I think it's much more transparent if we can do it that
way. It may be simpler. I wouldn't say more transparent, because I want to be very clear that all transfers, even within both budgets, are public and they are on the website. So.
Even $4 or $5 transfers.
Right. So it's just, it's simpler and easier to find, but not necessarily more transparent.
But what it does give each body that opportunity to fine tune things a little bit closer, because knowing that just that, so you can say, all right, I'm gonna cut 75,000 from salt and sand in this, because knowing that if you have a hell of a winter,
right?
I know this, and this is the key though. I know that this $400,000 or $500,000 in a contingency fund. I mean, that's, you're going to have a contingency fund that's substantial.
That's meaningful. It's got to be at least $500,000, because you look at the numbers typically.
$500,000,
Board of Ed.
Yeah.
In the Board of Selectmen, it is in around $400,000 to $500,000.
And whatever you don't use, you can either roll it or put it into reserve, whichever.
Yeah.
At the end, but that's not for today. But that's something that obviously seriously should be looked at.
And it's also gaining interest too, sitting there in the contingency fund unused.
All right, but I don't have anything else.
No, it's a good point. I'm glad that, you know, because I think it's something to be discussed.
And the other point I think that the public needs to be aware of too is, like, we have lots of potential bonding projects that are going to become needs in the future, you know, right? Like, this building is struggling. It's not handicap accessible. We're wasting, well, I don't want to say wasting, but spending over 50K a year to keep the annex open, right? Because there's not insufficient space here. You've got the roof at BCS, right? And that's a massive project. And
after that, there's going to be another roof.
There are towns that every year put a cushion in their budget so that they can move that money at the end of the year into their rainy day fund, which increases their bond rating and makes them more appealing when they go out for a bond. We have not been doing that. And that could, I mean, our bond rating isn't terrible, but it could be an issue in the long run. And I think that's something that needs to be talked about.
Putting a small amount in.
Right. Yeah. Very small
rather
amount.
Than
I think it's like 50 or 25, 25.
No, it's 50.
It's 24 or 50, depending on 25, the size of the contingency.
I think it's 50, but whatever it was, but It depends.
Well, 50%. The amount varies.
Right.
It varies. Whereas some towns literally put 10% of their budget into, right? Like 50K compared to.
No, and I just want folks million. To be aware they're all trade-offs to what we do.
Exactly.
And part of what we try to do is not shortchange the future for present needs. And we've been doing that to an extent with how we budget capital expenses instead of putting a certain. Let's say we have a $100,000 truck. We typically taking the $100,000 out in one lump sum like this instead of putting the money away for 4 years, getting interest on it and paying ourselves the interest, you know, effectively. And the same thing with some short-term bonding that we do, you could eliminate that by paying ourselves the money. So again, you know, that's some of the trade-offs we do that folks who are listening may not be aware of. And some of it is similar to what you do at home, and some of it is different because of the different things we have to consider, you know, as a town, like bond ratings. We don't have those to worry about at home. Similar to a credit rating, though, in a way.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a good credit rating,
we cannot invest in high yield investments.
No,
it's in equity, right?
They're very limited on that. So what we have, we can generate, but it's limited.
Yep.
So we're at $512,000 total cuts, right? So
that's if we assume
it's combo.
It's a combination of cuts and revenue.
The last what was 400 and the last cut we had was
440. Well, yes. I mean, so between it wasn't that big of a cut, but between the cuts and revenues, it was a $440,000 change. The prior one was $453,000. So this is the biggest one yet. I thought I had the spreadsheet up, Ross, but I don't. So
we needed $275,000 to get back to the
investment.
Do you have the spreadsheet, or I can try and pull a stop here, sharing and pull it up again?
Want me to?
Or let me, if I stop sharing.
If you stop sharing, I think I can. Hold on. I got to just get it off my desktop.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
A little
in between.
Yeah. Should we ask Kristen what this
is? Should we lower
than the meeting? No, this is give back. It wasn't a cut.
So let me go and open. My spreadsheet from Jill, and I'm going to share, get back into Zoom and share my screen. Oh, come on, Zoom.
Do you need me to do it? Because I got it back up.
It's just doing something funny where it's not letting me.
You got your back up?
I can.
Come on. Zoom meeting.
I'm glad that happens to people.
Here, I'll do it. You, and save you.
You do it because it's not. It's Zoom would just decide to minimize itself and won't come back.
So this is a chart that Jill gave us. That's estimates based on like if you make this much of a cut, which in this instance is combined cuts and proposed additional revenue. So we're in the 500. We're between row 21 and 22. Which means the mill rate would be between 32.06 and 31.97, which
also means we've gone below
the effective annual.
Yes, some of it is compared to the adopted mill rate of last year, which is
this one.
That one, and then the other is to what the mill rate would have been if we had gotten correct grand list information. So the other thing too is that if you look at the top right side of the screen where it says NA, once you drop below that, we're below the cap on the automobile rate,
right.
Mill rate, which means we will not get any money at all back from the state, you know, as part of, you know, next year's budget.
We hardly got any this year.
We will get nothing next year.
It was a big part of the work because it was $750,000.
Yeah. That was a big part.
And so just to explain to the public is that if we have a mill rate that is above the cap that the state has in place, the state returns a good portion of that to us the following year as revenue, you know, as a return to us. We can then use that to, you know, for revenue to offset, you know, the budget increases. If we go below that cap, then we do not get, there's no money, you know, to get back from the state.
So we're now between most people seem to be using the effective mill rate, which is the mill rate of 30.84, which was used to calculate the returns to residents. So we're now between a 3.66% increase and a 3.96% increase in mill rate.
Yeah. So, question. So when we're looking at, you know, compared to last year, which one are we supposed to be, or are we not allowed to go below? Because isn't the rule like the temporary mill rate can be like set?
The temporary mill rate can be no higher than the 32.74.
Than the adopted mill rate.
I personally probably wouldn't go above the effective.
No, we want to go above the effective. So I would go with what we're estimating here because if you go below you have to, we ideally don't, if it passes, we're good, right?
No, I know.
Otherwise, you want to try and avoid a supplemental or a credit.
I don't really have to give a credit.
That's the issue.
You don't have to get credit. You do. I looked it up.
Oh, you do?
The charter, I can pull up the charter for everybody.
I just don't want to go down that path.
No. Want to be close, but erring on the...
He might not earn as much interest and stuff. I'd rather set it originally lower than what it would most likely pass up.
But I think, I mean, it depends on where we, where did I put the charter? I swear I put that. I'm sorry.
I didn't get it on my email.
No, I have it. Well, they could calculate it because my Zoom is in the way.
I believe they could calculate that into the bill if you go low.
Am I sharing? Oh, no, I'm not sharing.
Unless the bill set, I don't know. I take that back.
So, all right. So in the event the budget is not approved by the start of the ensuing fiscal year, the Finance Committee shall meet and set a temporary tax rate at a rate no higher than the mill rate for the previous year. The tax collector shall forthwith issue tax bills subject to an appropriate credit or refund in the event the final mill rate is set as set is less than previously set by the Finance Committee pursuant to this section. In the event that the mill rate exceeds the temporary mill rate, the tax collector shall be empowered to implement a supplemental bill during the fiscal year.
So it's in the charter. It's not a statute.
State statute, correct. It's based on our charter. That's what I was just reading off of. So,
statute wise, nothing else around that. Like there is.
I mean, I wouldn't have any idea. But
okay. We're using the most restrictive is safe.
Of course.
So using the language in the charter keeps us safe.
Right.
It doesn't contradict what's in.
But now we're between a 3% and 4% increase. I really don't see us getting. I mean,
that's it.
So total for folks listening equals 453 plus 440 plus 512. 1.4 million is what we've cut from the original budget. Right. That's a lot of money when your budget is as small as it is. So if I were to go calculate that as a percentage.
1.4 million?
Yep.
So to get to the effective mill rate that folks are focused on, we would have to cut another $800,000, the majority of which would come out of the Board of Selectmen budget, which is not sustainable.
Because the school budget.
The school budget has a floor, and we could at most probably get another 100,000.
That's it.
Or so, and then the rest of it comes out of the Board of Selectmen's
budget. We would have to do something big, like give up trash.
And more.
And more. I mean, that's a lot.
Right, yeah. It's another, yeah.
And some of it will cost, you'd have to cut more to cover some of this because there's expenses with closing,
right.
Like our contracts with the state police, there's expenses with closing the contract for trash. So you don't save the full amount of the remaining monies in the contract. So we'd have to calculate that too. So it gets to be a mess. And I'm sure the Board of Ed would have similar issues to have to figure out.
So if I can share an experience as first selectman several decades ago, when I had a group come in and take over what was the Board of Finance then, and just made cuts so that it was a zero budget. That's what happened. It took 5 years for the various budgets to bring it back. So our services were back to where we were prior to that point. And that's, and that's what happens. And I can't see, and Mr. Chairman, what you say is get on. And you just don't recover the next year.
And part of it is, I know there's some folks who are not happy with the school budget, and there's some folks who are happy with it. And I'll just make the general observation that if you cut the Board of Selectmen's budget too much, then you wind up with road suffering and road clearing suffering, all of which are necessary for getting students to school, even if you kept the school's budget up. If the roads don't get plowed, the buses don't get to the schools. So there's a whole bunch of quality of life issues associated with that, because Bolton has been very good about keeping roads cleared and repaired. And if you give that up, that's a reduction in the overall quality of life, just as it is if you wind up, you know, shortchanging the schools. You wind up with there's issues that are important to overall quality of life. And then you wind up basically shortchanging the town because you don't have people coming here to live. You don't have businesses locating here because there's nothing for them. And then the taxes go up further because we don't have businesses. So there's a lot of discussion, I think, that we need to have. And I think that the current situation has made the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education aware that there's a need to do things differently and partner more on things. But that kind of stuff will not happen tonight with if we cut the budget. It'll cause a mess that will not be easily fixed. So I'm for being efficient with stuff and for reducing unneeded expense. I'm speaking for myself now, not for, you know, the committee. Is I would like to see expenses reduced with some more services shared and, you know, between Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen, but you can't do that tonight. As much as I would like to say yes, it won't happen. It'll be a real mess. And so that's my own editorial. And I personally don't think we can get back to the effective mill rate without, you know, a real horror show.
So to go back to the numbers, right, the $1.4 million that we cut represents a 5% overall cut in the budget.
Yep. The ask.
In, oh, no, that's not even... That's a 5% cut in the one that just went to referendum.
Yes, thank you.
It's more than that from the original. I don't know what the original one was, but it's so we've cut a substantial amount of the budget, and now after tonight's numbers, the expenses for the budget are only going up 1.93%, which is well below inflation. Right, like knowing that most of our contracts are going, and by contracts I mean vendors, I mean union contracts are going up around 3%, right? Utilities went up, what, like 8 to 10%? Insurance went up 11%, right? So
we're backwards.
We're getting our number. I mean, yeah, it's going to be tight any way you swing it.
So what's the total number that you came up with for a combination of reductions in expense and additional revenue? What was it?
512.
And then what the bad, what was between the two values of the projected mill rate?
So the two values we're looking at are between a cut of 500,000 and 550,000.
So the effective mill rate is somewhere between, it's closer to 3206.
Yeah.
Probably about 32.
So a 4%.
So we don't need to adopt, we can adopt.
I'm just saying for
no, for the sake of tonight, we're concerned about having the exact mill rate, which we feel that we need to have the CFO calculate.
Sure.
So tonight, we don't need to set the mill rate because we don't have a budget. We can set an amount for the budget that consists of these reductions and then explain in our flyer that there's an additional revenue being applied that's surplus for this year that further reduces the mill rate. And when our CFO gets, so we could vote, I feel comfortable that we could vote on the budget number.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Go ahead with ordering ballots and everything. And we'll have to explain to folks that we will have the mill rate, you know, a week or so later, because we need to have the CFO get back and calculate what the mill rate might be. So,
well, the mill rate for the referendum.
The mill rate for the referendum.
I don't know. The charter does not specify a time frame for adopting the temporary mill rate. So that's different, right? We're talking about.
I'm just talking about, let's just, so we don't need to do that tonight. Right. We can set the budget amount, but we don't need to set the mill rate. Right. We can do that when the CFO gets back. Right. Not set the mill rate itself, but what projected mill rate would be for the referendum.
Right. Exactly.
And then we do need to pick a temporary mill rate.
And that would be in a better position to do this.
It doesn't say you have to do it before 7/1. It says when they're when
out of state.
But the end of the beginning of the
what number
year.
Is it?
Yeah.
1, 2.
What are you talking about?
So
on page 20.
Go back to your charter comment.
I'm in the charter. It says In the event the budget is not approved by the start of the ensuing fiscal year, the finance committee shall meet.
Well, the
it
budget,
doesn't say how long after the start the of the budget fiscal will year. Not so we still be have. Approved.
Because we've gone 30 days beyond it before yeah, budget has
right.
was put out. I mean, not that we
but
want
we
to
have,
do that.
Well, we have $7.5 million in the bank right now.
So you can't go far. I mean, even now, and the, you're not going to get the bills out to make the July 1st.
We can't get the bills out for July 1st. And even if we could physically get the bills out,
you have 30 days.
We're not able to get a notice in the paper in a timely enough fashion. Right. For the collection, so the Board of Selectmen will have to act, you know, probably on an August, collection day.
So then here's
done.
So here's a suggestion. Then is that we set the budget tonight, and we could do a special meeting next week on Wednesday when the CFO is get back to have this discussion about. What the mill rate projected mill rate would be should the for the proposed budget, and then we could possibly use that mill rate at that time to be the temporary mill rate till the budget passes. You know, so we could do that. It sounds like from my understanding of the charter as Amanda read it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you can.
I'm trying to be more hopeful, and I don't really want to go all the way down to 30.84 as a temporary mill rate because I really want to avoid a supplemental. I mean,
rather,
I'm hoping
I'd have a supplemental than
a refund.
So what I would say is let's do.
I know, but
yeah. Sorry, Rhea had a question.
I have a question. Are we sure? Are we talking about? Taking cutting the whole 512,000 now.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's a combination of
some
reinvestment.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we don't want to take some of that money and put it into the contingency since we talked about
can't it this point.
Yeah.
No, we could increase the contingency amount, but that would increase the budget, right. Not decrease the budget.
Well, backwards. We just wouldn't. We would cut it. And we would take it from the 512 fund. Which is,
well, we can't because some of it's revenue.
I just think, like, I'm trying, I feel responsible, you know, like that's my responsibility. And I just feel that if we do cut too much and we don't have these contingencies and we lose some services because we end up in the few, it may not happen next year, but. Because we didn't address our infrastructure, it will come up and bite us. And it'll
cost you twice as much.
Yeah.
$25,000 won't make any difference.
Well, true. Yeah.
It makes a difference to you and me as individuals. It's a good chunk of money, and I don't want to belittle it from the point of view of.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are hurting, you know, because of the, you know, challenges with inflation and being on fixed income, but this. Point of view for the town budget, it's within the signal to noise ratio.
And so ultimately the only monies that in theory we could put into contingency is the 227 that we're saving. You can't take revenue from you can't take any of the give backs and put it in contingency, and that's the 285.
285
was the total give backs, 35 from registered voters and 250 from Board of Ed. And then there's still the cushion for Board of Ed of about we left 150 alone.
Right.
It was totally 394. So there's still a cushion.
The food services, which is probably, I'm just going to throw out numbers, maybe in the 50,000.
It's a lot.
So we're leaving the Board of Ed with a bit of a cushion.
I think part of that's also being utilized to extend the life of that vehicle.
Right.
You know, yeah. This is the time you can really look at that. Can you seriously do a nice workup on that and extend
it beyond? Yeah.
We can at least buy the part, even if we can't get all the work done, we can at least buy the part.
Right.
And nodding our head. Yes.
So long as we start it before June 30th, we can finish it into July.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but I think if the town mechanic is going to do all the work, so right. I think it's not going to be
other than maybe you're paying for the
make sure we get for figure out get all the parts and we'll have that baby humming.
John already has the email. He should be taking care of that at the money.
Right. Yeah, the key thing is the parts because we have the labor costs, the sunk costs because we're already paying for these folks.
I will just draw attention to the fact that the time that John is spending on the dump truck, it's plow truck.
Spent on other things.
Right, it's time not spent on other things. So it's not like this is just time he's sitting around twiddling his thumbs, right? It means other stuff is not.
Yeah. It's one of those things, it may not cost more to have him do it, but there's an opportunity cost to it because there's other things he could be doing to improve operations or do other work.
Right. And it's more effective when you're talking about a $220,000
right.
truck than it is when you're talking about a $70,000
right.
truck.
Right.
But you know, we saw the writing on the wall, so I talked to them to do what they had to do because I figured we were going to have to at least cut it this year. I didn't expect the results we got, honestly. He's done a more than amazing job. He's cut out rotted metal, replaced rotted metal. He's taken all the rust off, done rust conversion. It's been undercoated. It's just, it's much more than I anticipated. So he's done the taxpayer as well. He's more than earned his salary this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
John Tree.
Yes, I think
10 times over.
Yeah. And I mean, it's stuff I do something, doing something similar now. It's like you were mentioning, Glad, with your old vehicles. I have a 10-year-old Forester. The suspensions tend to go on those because of the rubber bushings they use. I just replaced the entire suspension. You know, I bought the parts myself. I did the work myself. It was a few thousand bucks. It's cheaper than buying a new car.
Absolutely.
Because I'm in the same bind as a lot of other folks. I'm retired, got a fixed income. And I do get a small amount from, you know, the town as Beyonce is registrar, but like a lot of folks there, I'm not making as quite as much as I was making when I was there. So, again, I'm just saying there's things that I understand people, you know, what people are saying. I'm going through some of this myself, so I don't want them to think that we don't understand or feel what they're going through because I'm doing the same thing.
Right.
Do I want to spend $3,000 or $4,000 on my suspension on my car? Not really, but it's a lot cheaper than buying a whole used car or a new one. So we're doing the same thing here.
Yeah, and I'm getting the body from my truck because I have the same issue that they have. It's the same. And that extends the life, the use, the whole thing. And
so the special thing about this truck that John did was it's their only 10-wheeler. It has two axles. It's the only one that can haul the capacity that they have a bunch of 6-wheelers, but they can't do what this thing does.
Right.
The body that was on it, it drains the sand. It's got a conveyor. It's got all kinds of special stuff on it. And he rebuilt the whole thing. It's beautiful.
Not quite done yet,
but it's just an amazing piece of work.
So do we want to pass the ballot?
I think that we should consider and possibly act on the ballot question because we have to go by the agenda because this is a special meeting.
So do we have to make these reductions first?
No,
it wouldn't hurt to recognize the reductions.
Recognize them.
Officially,
we
no.
Can't. I don't think we can.
What, the reductions in the budgets?
I mean, that's done by.
We have a dollar amount.
Adopting the ballot question, right? No?
It would be good that we officially agree on the amount that we're going to be changing in revenue and changing in the actual budget. I would just like to go through with that so that we're all in agreement. There's a vote that collectively we agree to make the total of $227,000 in reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, and then recognize the changes in revenue of $35,000 from the Board of Ed, you know, from Board of Selectmen and $250,000 from Board of Ed. So when we start with, we just start with the cap of ones first, and then we'll do the Board of Selectmen and then Board of Ed.
Here, and make the reduction from the capital budget for a total of $227,000.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
So made by Bob Morris, seconded by Amanda Gordon. Discussion. Seeing none, since we already discussed it, all those voting members signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
It
passes unanimously by all voting members. So then I will entertain a motion to recognize the changes in revenue of $35,000 from the Board of Selectmen and $250,000 from the Board of Ed to be used to reduce the mill rate for 2026 budget.
I'll make a motion that we recognize unofficial revenue from the Board of Selectmen in the amount of $35,000 and from the Board of Ed in the amount of $250,000 to reduce the mill rate for next year.
And I'll second.
So motion made by Amanda, seconded by Ashley Phelan. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes unanimously by all voting members. So then we can move on to consider an act on the ballot question. So then we need to take the total. Somebody will do the math, at least, because we need to subtract the $227,000. Do you want to do the motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the ballot question. Shall the annual budget for the town of Bolton, Connecticut for the fiscal year 2026, as recommended by the Finance Committee, in the amount of $26,371,982, be adopted?
Second.
So a motion made by Amanda Gordon, seconded by Robert Mora. Further discussion? Looking around, seeing that we already beat that dead horse. Let's, I'll ask all those members who in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The ballot question passes unanimously by all voting members present. So I will sign that and make a copy and leave one. Jim, can I leave it with you to give to the town clerk?
We'll get it to the town clerk in the morning.
And I'll make a copy here before we leave. So I can have that to make sure I get the right number to put in the ballots. Okay, let's go on in discussion. Now, should we have to do this again?
We're not. We can't. I won't be here if we have to do this again.
Again, we're going through the agenda. If you want to talk about it, it's up to you. If you don't, that's also up to you.
We will be meeting right after the...
Well, that's the next agenda item.
Yeah, we'll be meeting right after the referendum. So
and you have 3 weeks. You all have three. Board of Education has three. Actually, Mr. Caruso, you have some time to start thinking about it as of July 1st. And
Kristen can just sit back and relax and have a nice glass of wine.
And I'll leave it up to Rodney and Jim to figure out what they want to do.
Do you have the original proposed budget from the first referendum, the dollar value somewhere?
Yeah.
In your pocket?
Oh.
No. Yes, I do. Hold on.
I just want to see what the overall percent change is.
Because we need to do that.
I mean, we don't need to.
No. I got it here because I knew we were going to...
I knew you had all of the...
So, the question for the first budget... Let's see. $26,851,518. $8,51,518. Then let's consider an act on additional meetings. So what we did talk about was a special meeting next week.
No, I guess it
is correct.
It is. We've only cut.
We didn't cut that much. We recognize
the revenue. About half and half.
There was a lot of revenue we've recognized, so people have to understand that it looks like a small dollar amount for the the actual budget to go down, but your tax burden is being reduced by
The effect of 1.4 billion.
But by the revenues.
So Wednesday following week is the 16th.
Yeah.
So do we have this room or do we need someplace else?
So you're looking.
Well, there's two. There's next week.
Right. There's next week too.
No,
So next week would be a meeting. You've been doing 7 o'clock. So next week would be the second. Wednesday the second.
Yeah.
We've been doing 7:15.
7:15. We can
either is fine, but we've been doing
That's fine. We're good. Well,
Rodney's
good. Rodney's
so go check. He's pretty good about finding it and putting stuff in there.
Except for that one time we got stuck with room A after we thought we were coming here.
That wasn't so bad.
No, it wasn't, but I just don't want it to go to Rodney's head that he thinks he's perfect.
In the middle of summer? Well, we don't have a choice. We have to meet the salesman.
I use sticky pads. Okay. Oh, you use sticky pads?
And just remember, if it's written in pencil, you can erase it and put us in.
Is there anything in here next Wednesday?
Yes, good.
Okay,
good. All right.
So then we'll meet here at 7:15 on July 2nd.
And Mr. Chairman, if you could get me or my staff the agenda, we'll go ahead and get that posted for you.
Yep.
And still the way we'll take care of that.
Okay. And then I will do another one. So the next one would then be the, 15th. So it would be the 16th. 7:15 again.
And Andrew said there's a
there's
a board of ed at 6:30, but we don't really have a choice.
We don't have a choice based on.
You can catch the first 45 minutes.
We could actually go to, there's nothing that says we couldn't go to another day other than the fact that it cuts
down the
time to get we have 2 weeks the next time.
Right. Well, we haven't said a Board of Selectmen hasn't said a fifth one, did we?
No, I think you only four now.
No, we didn't. We said four.
So then let's do this, and then you guys have to think about maybe setting another one in case.
We can do that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So then I'll just put, so all we're concerned about at the moment is July 16th.
Oh, indeed, it will. Between the 13th and the 18th. So like I said, I probably will.
They get faster and faster. So by the time you get to 4 or 5, you're
be like immaculate conception at that point.
Okay. So do we need to vote on this?
Yes.
So then
I'll make a motion to approve additional special meeting dates of the Finance Committee on July 2nd at 7:15 and July 16th at 7:15 at the Town Hall, both virtual and in person.
Check.
Okay, any further discussion? This motion made by Amanda Gordon, seconded by Robert Mora. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes unanimously by all voting members present. Then under new business, we can consider and possibly act on a temporary mill rate. So my understanding is we're going to do that at our July 2nd meeting.
Mm-hmm. So do we have to make a motion to table that until the next meeting? No.
I don't think we do.
This will be that you're not, you just don't act on it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it says
considered. We've considered it.
And we considered it. And then the other one is consider and possibly act on setting a mill rate. And we're not doing that either because we don't have a budget yet. Right. So then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
I'll second.
Seconded. So then we adjourned at 8:36. Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Pleasure working with you.
Happy retirement, Kristen.
Yeah, happy retirement.
The person with the biggest smile in the room. Right?
Short timer grin.
You're welcome to join us anytime.
Thanks for that. Good night.
Good night, Kristen. Good night, Kristen.
Good night, Chief.
Oh,